Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here at Living Waters Church and happy to be sharing today. This is an important day for us as a community. We find ourselves returning to the Gospel of Luke. If you've been following along, you would know that we've been in the Gospel of Luke for quite some time, and we're enjoying the benefits of the study of God's Word together. Our approach most often is to find our way, perhaps considering kind of a verse-by-verse approach to the study of a book, the Gospel of Luke, and it certainly helps us talk about things that we might not normally talk about. And certainly, the consistency of studying God's Word is so important for all of our lives. So we're back in the Gospel of Luke today. I'm sure that at some point you have set a book down and only to pick it up a month or so later, and you would find yourself with the need to reacquaint yourself with the book. And so perhaps that would be our hope here today as we return to the Gospel of Luke and reacquaint ourselves as to where we've been as a community. The Gospel of Luke, we do read that this biography of Jesus has been shared by, Luke, the author, sharing a very detailed and dramatic account of Jesus' life, recording Jesus' itinerary, his teachings, his miracles, his opposition, and many amazing things that happened during Jesus' life on earth. Well, up to the end of Luke, up to the end of November, we got up to the place in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46, where we read about Jesus and his disciples together in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before we take a few minutes to revisit that story, let's zoom out a bit and consider four of the big ideas that have already been discussed in the Gospel of Luke before we get again back into the Garden of Gethsemane the night of Jesus' arrest. So let me share four big ideas. A primary idea in the Gospel of Luke is this: if you want to know more about God, take a look at Jesus. Luke chapter 10, All things have been committed to me by my Father, Jesus said. Luke chapter 2, Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Luke was very intentional in pointing out this big idea. If you want to know God, take a look at Jesus. And this biography of Luke helps us take a look at God. If you want to know what God thinks about you, take a look at what Jesus has done for you and says about you. If you want to know what God thinks about Satan, take a look at what Jesus has done and said. If you want to know what God thinks about our neighbors, equity, social justice, and the future of the world, take a look at what Jesus has done for all of mankind and says. Jesus is God in revealed form. This was truly perhaps a purpose of Luke's biography. Again, if you want to know more about God, take a look at Jesus. So certainly Luke's biography helps us to get to know God, what is on his mind and what God does. As Jesus was born at the early part of the Gospel of Luke and begins to live and he begins to teach, he heals, he helps. And so we find ourselves with a growing appreciation and conviction of how this world needs to know God. This world needs to know Jesus. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And so the Gospel of Luke includes the long travel narratives that Jesus was on during his 3+ years of evangelizing and teaching, making God known. A big idea in the Gospel of Luke. Number two, Jesus offers us the life that we need. In this biography, Jesus called his disciples from many walks of life. He invited men and women and children, regardless of race, ethnicity, or background, to follow him. Early on, we see that Jesus had come to give people something, not just simply to take something. Luke 18:7 says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. The gospel is about receiving this life that Jesus offers. So Luke's gospel is a call to everyone around the world, regardless of what someone's social or moral status is, to abandon our futile methods of self-salvation and receive Jesus. This is the good news of the biography of Luke. The posture with which we engage Jesus is as a benefactor or as a recipient, for Jesus offers us all that we need. Jesus taught, and Luke paid attention to that narrative of how Jesus first loved us, how he has chosen us. For here, Jesus was turning the religious system of the day upside down by teaching that he has something to give people. Radical as many were being called out of the religious system with which they fell short in their giving, only to receive from Jesus. What a lifting of burdens, Luke was noting in Jesus' biography. Luke was wise to the fact that Jesus taught that receiving him, receiving Jesus, involves transformation. There certainly are many great philosophies in this world that would say we should look inward to find our true identity and answer to life's problems. But as Jesus called people to himself, we definitely read how Jesus was saying that that philosophy in the world doesn't work. Rather, Jesus offers life that we need, that we as people truly need. Jesus came to give new life, described in Luke's biography as being born again. Therefore, we can say that once we were now not a Christian, now someone becomes a Christian and a new person is born, walking now in the world, a person that never existed before. And this certainly was the case for all those first followers of Jesus, called out of the world to become new people, born again, and then sent back into the world as witnesses of that personal life change. In fact, we know early on in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus goes beyond that calling his first followers to be water baptized. There's whole accounts of that. And an act that symbolizes a person choosing to give their life entirely to God, a willingness to give up their life in order to receive the offering of new life in Christ. Luke made a point of helping people, helping us realize that we need the life that Jesus came to offer. Thirdly, another perhaps larger zoomed out theme of the biography of Luke is that Jesus invites us to an upside down kingdom. In Luke's biography, we come to appreciate the history of the Greco-Roman world. Jesus came preaching at a time when the world was built on protecting the wealth and notoriety of a few, a time when everyone looked out for their own interests, a time when there was tremendous prejudice, inequality, and huge power structures that kept people apart and kept some people close. So Jesus came, and Luke notes this, came teaching about a kingdom not of this world, God's kingdom, where the poor and the humble the outcasts of society are elevated to places of honor. And Luke emphasizes this through a series of parables about banquets and prodigal sons and good Samaritans, where Jesus illustrates that all are welcome into the kingdom, welcome into this new family of God. It doesn't matter where you've been, or what matters is saying yes to Jesus now and offering our lives to him and receiving salvation. It's an absolutely incredible story. Think about this. Here, Jesus reverses the world order, if you would, and elevates the humble, offering anyone who wants it a place of belonging in God's eternal kingdom, a place of deliverance and a place of freedom from evil, forgiveness of sin. Wow, what a fantastic story. As we read the biography, we realize that many people said yes to Jesus upon hearing this good news. Many rose up in opposition, yes. And many people said yes and followed Jesus. And still today, friends, this same message that Jesus introduced some 2,000 plus years ago, as noted in Luke's biography of Jesus, still today, people are becoming Christians. At a pastoral team meeting recently, we heard stories of some of our pastors on our team here at Living Waters Church who have recently led people to Jesus. These people coming to Jesus for the very first time, miraculous, incredible stories of life change. Jesus invites us into his kingdom. Fourthly, followers of Jesus become servants. One of the things I like about Luke's biography is that he portrays Jesus' disciples as regular people, often whom we can relate to. Normally, we look at great men and women as those who have authority, money, and power. But Jesus said in the kingdom of God, the truly great people are learners. They're humble. They're dependent people. They're authentic people. They're first followers, and they're becoming servants. Luke 22, but you're not to be like that, Jesus taught. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Big, big countercultural message that Luke was noting. Jesus taught that someone with a focus on serving others is not someone who is scheming and manipulating folks for their own benefit. So many in the first century and even today think that the only way to get ahead is by somehow pushing others down or aside so they can rise above. But Jesus taught that our responsibility is to be as servants, one who serves and lifts people up through generosity and love for everyone. Jesus taught that within his kingdom, there's room enough and there is resource and supply enough for everyone. We don't have to hesitate to be people that serve. Well, there's so much to say that we've discussed over the last number of years. Perhaps those four bigger ideas helps us be reminded and helps us kind of settle down for this last stretch in the Gospel of Luke. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we finished at the end of November in Luke chapter 22, and I'd like us to return there to the help us appreciate perhaps where we're headed in this last section of the Gospel of Luke. Well, Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 46, we read Jesus had shared the Passover meal, sharing again with them about his near death. They leave the upper room, and Luke records in detail how they came again to the Mount of Olives and specifically into the Garden of Gethsemane. In summary, Jesus instructs his disciples to pray so that they would not fall into temptation. He then leaves his disciples to find his own place of prayer. And so we picture in the Garden of Eden that Jesus is over there praying, being tested, not capable of sin. And his disciples are over there praying, facing temptation and very capable of sin. In Luke 22, in these verses, Jesus returns from his prayer and finds his disciples asleep. Luke 22, verse 45 suggests they were sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. And we talked about this at the end of November. It is there that Jesus gives his disciples some instruction that they would need to follow from then on. So they needed to hear, they needed to follow this instruction, not just in that dark evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, but from here on. And we'll learn why in the days ahead. Jesus instructs his disciples to get up and pray. Get up and pray. So we noted at the end of November these two pivotal words. He says, get up. The original prophetic word that is being referenced here in the word get up is resurrect. Jesus was speaking prophetically in that very important hour in Luke's biography. The word is used to describe resurrection, particularly the resurrection of Jesus and the future resurrection of believers. It can also mean a call to stand up for a purpose. So Jesus, and these final instructions before his arrest, says to his disciples, the one he loves, get up. Not in your own strength, for they did not have what it takes on their own strength. He says, and points to himself, I have what it takes. And he was wanting to impart his strength and power in them. So getting up is not getting up with lofty good intentions. This is getting up by means of the power of the resurrection. Critical for the disciples to learn to pray for this and receive this the rest of their lives. For from this night on, as we will learn in the days ahead, things would literally become a matter of life and death. See, as Luke points out through his entire biography, the Christian life is not so much about what we give to God, it's what God gives us. And that very night, Jesus was wanting to impart new life for the new challenges and new narrative that would come their way. Resurrection power. So he says, get out. Secondly, he says, pray. The verb that is used here for pray denotes the act of praying more than emphasizing the content of prayer. This verb pray emphasizes the end and aim of prayer, which is about belonging to the subject of the one we are praying to. So the value of prayer is not in lofty words. Prayer is about belonging to God. So notice on this very critical night, a critical night for the disciples, because of what Jesus was saying. And of course, a critical night, as we will note in just a moment, it is from here that Jesus will be arrested, something we'll talk about next week. But in Jesus's final instructions, Jesus knows the roots or source of all temptation is a battle of the will. This is why Jesus very kindly and purposefully led the disciples away from the temptation that they could get along in Christian life and living in their own strength. For temptation doesn't start out there. Temptation starts in here when we try to will our way forward and to go on our own strength. We won't get very far. We'll quite likely come full circle back to where the disciples were in the Garden at Gethsemane, overwhelmed with sorrow. So as we will see in the remaining verses and chapters of this gospel, Luke's biography, the disciples would need supernatural strength to follow Jesus and would always need to pray so that they may know whom they belong to. So for the rest of our gospel, rest of our study in this Luke's biography, we're going to see the disciples trying to keep up with Jesus. But as we know, there's only one Jesus. And the separation between the actions of a holy Savior and guilty sinners will be soon seen and perhaps even disappointing. May this lead all of us to sincerely worship, pray, and receive His grace and mercy. So looking further ahead, between now and April 20th, Easter Sunday, we will be continuing to study in the footsteps of Jesus as He's arrested, on trial, sentenced, and all the details of His cruel death on the cross. For example, next week, as we follow along in Luke's biography from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 and 36 on, we will see that just after Jesus says to His disciples, "Get up and pray," that a group of soldiers interrupt their prayer meeting and arrest Jesus, and we read about all the violence that follows. So let me just share a couple of comments as I close. As we begin our walk to the cross, as we study God's Word together, let's join in prayer. Studying Scripture needs the help of the Holy Spirit, and may, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we pray, may our expectation increase as we become more mature followers of Jesus. Number two, let's open our hearts wide with expectation, preparing ourselves to fall more deeply in love with Jesus. Thirdly, as we keep a close eye on the disciples, we will see the times they get it right and times they get it quite wrong. But let's be willing to take a close look at our own lives, for I'm sure we will see a lot of ourselves in the disciples as we study between now and Easter Sunday. And finally, perhaps our best prayer the next few months is the prayer that Jesus wanted to answer for His disciples before He was arrested, where He said, "Get up." And may that be our collective prayer as a community. Let us get up and receive the resurrection power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit that Jesus wants to give us now. He says, "Get up and pray." Let's discover again our belonging to Jesus as we pray and as we're filled. For Jesus has good days ahead for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the gift of community and the gift of Your Word, which, as discovered, opens our minds and opens our hearts to see You in a fresh way. We thank You for being the Savior of the world. We thank You for being our personal Savior. And as we pick up again Luke's biography, we pray through the work of Your Holy Spirit that our appreciation for all that You've invited into would grow. We do pray that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to read, and eyes to see You in a fresh way as we read Your Word together. We pray for, again, Your hand to be upon our lives as You teach us and lead us as followers of the way. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.